What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Anime Corner Podcast. This is your host, James. Episode 116. I feel like I haven't recorded in a hot minute, but it was just last week. I don't know. It feels weird. Like, I haven't done anything. I don't know what that means, but just feels like I haven't done anything with editing or recording, which, I mean, I have. I don't know what I'm thinking, but anyway, I hope y'all's week is going well. This is Tuesday? Well, this is coming out on Tuesday, but you know, yeah, I got the gist. It's a seasonal episode. We're midpoint, maybe a little bit farther than midpoint. So we're talking about a little bit of these shows that I'm watching. Way more shows than I thought I was gonna be watching. And plus the ones that I picked out for the season that I was gonna keep up with through and through for the season, but along the way I stumbled upon a lot more. So I had four that I picked: Journal with Witch, Roll Over and Die, In the Clear Moonlit Dusk, and Tomon's B-Side. Really thought that was all I was gonna be watching this fall. Excuse me, not fall, winter. I don't know where I'm at, but I picked up a few more. So we're gonna be discussing like 15 shows that I'm watching right now. And it's gonna be non-spoilers. I'm not gonna spoil anything, because you know, season's still going, people are still watching, and just gonna talk about how I'm feeling about some of these shows and how they're going for me. If I do spoil something, I'll let y'all know so before I get into it. But yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy winter. A lot of these shows are really good. Some of them just are okay, but for the most part, I've been enjoying everything that I'm watching. And another thing that I need to add, you've been here before, I don't really talk about the returners that much, so I wait to the season ends to watch all the returning shows. For example, like Frieren, I have not started. I wait until that finishes so I can binge it. And Hell's Paradise as well. Only one that I've watched as a returner is JJK, and that's just because why did I start JJK? I don't remember why, but I started that. So that's the only returner that I'm gonna be discussing. Oshinoko, sorry, Fire Force, I apologize. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot more shows out here, so I try to skip those and then get into them whenever the season finishes. So Trigun, Stargaze, I did start that. So that's two that are returning that I did get into. But in that, no, none of that. But before we get into it, I have been watching anime, as you can tell, but not just seasonals. So I finished, and I've been talking about the show for the past few episodes or something like that, but I rewatched Golden Time. And yeah, I remember why this is one of my favorite shows. This is on my top 30. Go check out the episode if you want to hear my top 30 anime. But I had a great time watching that. I really love that show a lot. It threw me off. I don't know if I remember if I watched it in dub or sub last time, but I watched it in dub this time around, and it's still good, but the dub kind of caught me off guard. Especially Coco, she's just super, her voice is super high, and it kind of threw me off. And Bonnery's just, he reminds me a lot of like Kirito with his dub voice actor. And I looked it up, and it's not the same dub voice actor, so I was like, why does he remind me so much of him? But other than that, still a really good show. Highly recommend it. 24 episodes. It's, for the most part, it's just them going through school and vibing and falling in love and stuff. But then those last few episodes, things start going left, and I think that's where it really kicks in for me. That and them almost getting thrown into a cold, that I forgot that was happening. That was crazy. But that's like episode 3 or 4 or something like that. But as it goes on, and as Bonnery starts kind of getting his memories back, things start to get crazy, and you feel for this dude, and you feel for Coco, because I mean, the way it was going, he might forget her. You never know. So it's really kind of a scary situation. I couldn't imagine going through a situation like that. One, you lost your memories from after you graduated high school, and you go live your life or whatever off of those memories that you have, and you run into one of your old classmates from high school, and she kind of act like she don't know you, so she doesn't confuse you, but then you figure it out, And now she's kind of guiding you through college a little bit and helping you out whenever you need help. Cool. You meet someone new. You find you a girlfriend, yada, yada. But then slowly your memories come back, and then you're starting to forget everything that you've been through the past, what, 6 months or something like that. That's some scary shit. Not just the amnesia from the jump, but then afterwards you start forgetting what you, who you are for the last 6 months. Yeah, that's terrifying. So I couldn't imagine going through that. But shout out to Bonnery for powering through and getting through that. And check out Golden Time and you'll see what I'm talking about. The show's really good. Other show that I watched, and I thought I finished this show, but apparently I didn't, or I just don't remember finishing it. But it's I almost forgot what it was called for a second. Uramichi Oni-san. Life Lessons with Uramichi Oni-san. And this is from 21, summer of 21. And I know I've watched this show, but I didn't remember the last three episodes. And I didn't mark it on my anime list. But I know I watched all this. But I don't, either way. If you're a millennial like me, or just someone in general that's just going through work and you're just always drained and trying to fake it till you make it, this is the show for you. Just straight comedy of just how normal work life can be sometimes, and just how you kind of just bounce through that and kind of, like I said, fake it till you make it. And then you have your coworkers and stuff that also doing the same things, and then you go out and you have these drinks and you kind of live your adult life. But at the same time, it is draining your life away, and you need a holiday, you need a vacation. And this is just what it is. It's just adults doing their job. Their job is just, you know, a kid's show, like Miss Rachel type of kid show, and dealing with these kids every day of the week and trying to not lose your mind in the process. It's a hilarious show. I know it sounds crazy, but it's a hilarious show. It's funny. It's just a workplace comedy, and I really recommend this one as well if you like comedy like that. I was trying to think of something that's kind of close to it, but I don't know if there's anything kind of like this. I mean, this is workplace comedies, but I don't think anything like kind of like Uramichi-san. Maybe Saki K. It could be kind of that type of vibe. And also the feel of it kind of feels like Wotakoi, kind of like that as well. Oh, you know, a new one, and I'm going to talk about it here in a second, it reminds me of a little bit like The Daily Life of a Part-Time Torture, that type of vibe, but not torture. It's just a kid's show. But anywho, yeah, that's what I've been watching, and then plus all the seasonals. And once I get off of here, it's Game of Thrones time. Well, Night of the Seven Kingdoms time, so I'll be jumping onto that. But anywho, we got a lot of shows to get into, so let's jump into this and see what I've been watching. So I think I mentioned this the last time I think it was the episode preview of Winter Season. Still watching Genosha, I forget how to say it. Still powering through that. I'm 21 episodes and we've trucking through it. I mean, it's the same old show that it was from the fall, and I'm still enjoying it for the most part. The character designs is what really got me in, and the animation is really cool. And I mean, it's just like almost like Among Us. I think I've mentioned this before, and I mean, it's still a good time. I don't know how this is gonna end, because I don't know if he can fill up the little virus thing that he has within this time frame, but I guess we'll see. But I'm still enjoying that very much, and we'll see how it goes. And then this is the one that everyone's just been hyped about, Sentenced to Be Hero. Art style and the animation is dope, and I really like I forget how to say his name. Is it Zorlo? The main dude. I really like his character and just what he's doing and stuff. And I'm surprised this is only 12 episodes. This feels like a 24 episoder, but maybe there's gonna be a part one and a part two. But for the most part, I am still enjoying Sentenced to Be Heroes. I was kind of hesitant when I saw that first episode and it was 45 minutes and everyone was hyping it, because you know, when things go viral on social media, it kind of sometimes gets overhyped. And that's what I was worried about with this show after that first episode. But so far so good. I'm still enjoying it a lot, and Studio Kai is doing the damn thing with this story and the artwork and the animation. So check out Sentence to Be Hero. It's a whole different vibe, and it says hero, but it's basically like these people are always on the front lines, and quote unquote heroes, almost basically they're like slaves kind of, but they are always in the fight. So if they die, they get brought back every time, and they just never get to just have any type of peace or anything. And they're kind of like just looked down upon by society and stuff because of just how, who they are and what they do and everything like that. But I mean, these people, this in this world, these people get treated terribly. Like I said, if they die in battle, they just get brought back immediately, and they just go through that rigmarole every time. And it's crazy. And then Xylo, he's the former head of the Order of the Holy Knights, and y'all know how the first episode goes, and he just kind of doesn't have the same type of faith that everyone has in goddesses, because he's had something happen in the past, you know, and he's really trying to navigate with this new goddess that he has. I think she's the goddess of swords, I believe. Anywho, he's trying to navigate with her through this world and stuff, and it's cool, man. I really do like it a lot. And you know, I'm big on fantasy shows already, but this one's really has me locked in. Another fantasy show that I've been on, and this is one of my four shows that I picked, is Roll Over and Die. And this one, it's still good, but it's not, it's one of those almost kind of like the one of those isekais that you just watch through every season. But I don't know, there's still something about it for me at least that I'm kind of still locked into it. Does she gets thrown from her party and stuff because they say she doesn't quote unquote have any powers, but her power is, I forget what it's called, but kind of like it's almost like reversal, kind of like that, if I'm saying that correctly. And so anything like negative against her or anything like a cursed object or something, she can use it and it'll work for her because it'll turn that negative into a positive for her. And I believe vice versa as well, positive or positive just doesn't do anything, but she can do things like that. And it kind of is what saves her in the first episode when she gets thrown into slavery and everything. It's always getting thrown into slavery with these fantasies and isekais. But I'm still in it. I still really like it. Flum is a cool character, and I'm feeling for how do you say her name? Milkit? I don't know if that's how you say it. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it wrong, but I feel for her. But I'm still locked in to Roll Over and Die. I wouldn't say I'd recommend it if you're not into the fantasy shows that you watch every year. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you just like throwing those stuff on and watching it, check it out. But just don't think it's gonna be a Sentence to Be Hero type of level or anything like that. Just one of those shows that you can enjoy in the background while you're doing dishes or whatever. Nothing that you have to just be sitting there and kind of locked into. My other show that I have that I'm keeping up with, In the Clear Moonlit Dusk. Now this one for me, man, I am locked in. What do they call the princes? Yo, I didn't know they were gonna be this kind of connected so quickly in this show. The first two episodes, they googly eye and everything so quick, and I'm like, yo, I'm here for it. If y'all get together episode three, cool, that's fine with me. I want to see how y'all navigate school with being in a relationship and stuff like that. But this is probably one of my favorite shows right now, and with the winter season, I just love everything about it. The character designs and the animation and everything. What's his name? The main character, Kohaku. Hey, yo, his character design is cool. I have the hoop earrings too, but I don't rock it like that. But I really enjoy this one right now. I just want to see where it goes. I don't know if this is like a two season type of thing, or if we're gonna wrap this up in 12. Either way, if not, then I'm jumping into the manga, because I don't need to be have this dangling in my face. You know, I need to finish. Oh, the manga's still going right now too, so I mean, they may have to come up with their own conclusion. I did not know that the manga was still going, so damn. Well, I'm here for it. But this one I highly recommend for the winter season if you haven't started already, which I'm sure a lot of you have. But Yo, this one and the other one too, when I get to it, but Hanakimi, I know people were kind of upset about that one too, because I think it's not as faithful to the manga as it should be, but I'll get to that when I get to it here in a minute. But Into the Moonlit Dusk, clear, and the clear moonlit dusk, yeah, I'm here for this. And this is why I'm so it's so hard for me to do seasonal sometimes, because I want to binge all of this, but I only have what, 6-7 episodes, something like that. I can't remember how many episodes are left in it. I think I'm on episode 5 right now. So yeah, I need all of it, man. I need it all. Shoot it into my veins, please. I need it. But yeah, watch that, please. Let me know how y'all feel about it. Next one we got is Kaya-chan Isn't Scary. Another fun show. You think it's about Kaya being scary, but Kaya's just a dog. She's dog walking all these ghosts that are bothering her classmates and stuff. And her classmates just don't get it. They don't understand, because I mean, they're all children and stuff, and they don't know what's going on. They just see Kaya doing some crazy stuff and destroying these spirits and everything, and they just kind of, well, she's weird. I think this is one little girl that's kind of like getting closer to her and becoming friends with her. But this reminds me a lot of like, if y'all remember that one show from like 2020 or something, what was it called, Moroko-chan, I believe that's what it was, where the girl started seeing ghosts and everything. This sort of reminds me of a lot. And it's not the same type of like situation, but the way these ghouls and ghosts look like, it reminds me a lot of like this show, which I'm surprised we haven't got more of Moroko-chan, to be honest, now thinking about it. But it reminds me a lot of that, with the way they look and everything. And then Kai is just doing her damn thing and putting them in their place and everything. So this is a fun one. It really is fun to watch and see her, how she's navigating in this schoolyard and how she's taking care of these things. And she just wants everyone to be safe and be cool, and they just don't get that. They just think that she's being weird. And I mean, and the one teacher sees what's going on too. She knows something's up, and she doesn't know what to do with it, you know what I mean? And I'm hoping down the line, when we get to the end of the season, we kind of figure out how Kaya can be friends with her classmates and not make it scary or anything for them because of the ghost she can see and the powers that she has and stuff. But yeah, that's a fun romp. I'd recommend it still. It's really good. I find it pretty good. It's a fun show to watch about ghosts and everything. Now this one, everyone's been talking about this show, and I thought it was just going to be your run-of-the-mill, got kicked out from the Heroes Party type show, which it is, but I feel like this one's gotten a little more hype than past ones for some reason, and that's Jack of All Trades, Party of None. And like 3-4 people told me to watch this show, because I really wasn't going to watch it. This is going to be one of the shows I picked up after the season was over. But my cousin told me to watch it. One of my buddies told me to watch it. And then I believe someone on Threads told me to watch it as well. So I was like, I mean, 3 people telling me to check it out, I might as well throw it on. So I threw it on. And it's just running the mill type of stuff. But at the same time, I was locked in. I don't know how that makes sense, but it's running the mill, but also kind of not running the mill. This dude is just kicked from the Heroes Party because they think he's weak, but he's I believe they're not called casters, I'm thinking of Fate, but he kind of just, you know, holds things down on the battlefield and stuff, and they think he's too weak and they're holding him back, so they kick him out. And he's just wandering the dungeons and stuff and saves this girl from this other big guild, and they invite him to go do some stuff with them. And come to find out, his Hero Party, the only reason they were good is because he was helping them be that good. And that's why they were called the Hero Party, and that's why they got to the lowest floor and stuff. And it's not really any type of spoilers. This happened in the first episode. But the dude, like it says, he's a jack of all trades, because originally he was a swordsman, but his buddy was a better swordsman, so he switched to a caster. And I know it's not a caster, I know it's called something else, but I can't remember what exactly that thing, what it's called. I'm trying to see it right now. Enchanter, that's what it's called in the show. And dude is making up his own spells, enchanting his sword to make it more powerful. He's boosting up other people at the same. This dude can do everything. But he just because he got kicked out of the Heroes Party, he doesn't think he's that great. He doesn't think he can do all these different things. But then there's one enchanter from the big guild, when they did a joint raid, she's like, he's really good at everything he does. He doesn't do one thing particularly well. He does everything well, and with different aspects of how to do these raids and everything. And yeah, I mean, it's a good time. The last episode, I think it was like episode 7, this dude did this. The battle that went on in episode 7 was crazy. It's a good show, but again, like I said, if you look at it, it's just your run-of-the-mill type of got kicked from the Heroes Party, but then you watch it and this dude's doing some crazy stuff. And I think I just enjoy the characters as well. He seems like that bland Kirito type of base character, but he's pretty cool. What was his name? Orin? Yeah, Orin, he's pretty cool. And then the characters from the guild, Selma and her little sister Sophia, and the rest of the guild, that I think I just enjoy the characters a little bit more. And they're not anything to write home about. They just all kind of really good characters, at least together and everything. I don't know about them being by themselves, you know, walking the streets of this land and just doing their own thing. But together, they're all pretty great. And I really just want him to rub it in his old party's face as well. And that's the other thing. There was one girl in his party that wasn't there when they were doing this voting for him to be out of it. And she comes back and she's like, I told y'all not to do this. And kind of yells at her party like, yo, he's the only reason we're good, and y'all squandered it. And now we're gonna suck ass. And they're so up each other's ass. They're like, no, he's trash, he's weak, we can do this. And things go transpire and you see they are trash without him. So it's good, but Mal will say different. It says 6.7 on there and it's just fine, but I think it's pretty good and I'm enjoying it. But again, I wouldn't be mad if you just say, oh, it's just a run in the mill type of getting kicked out of the Heroes Party, which I mean, like I said, it kind of is, but at the same time it feels a little bit different. A tad bit different. And we're gonna see where it goes with these last 5 episodes. I think it's a 13 episoder, maybe. Let me make sure. I feel like I'm making that up. Oh, 12 episoder. So now this one I just happened to start, and I hope I say this right. It's Champigno Witch, I believe. And this show reminds me a lot like a Disney princess type of vibe. That's what it gives off. Like the first 3 episodes or something like that, if it just felt like this Disney princess that was just in dire need of human contact, just to converse with someone, because she's a black witch and she's forced to live out in the forest or whatever, and she lives in this poisonous mushroom, and her whole body is just filled with poisons and toxins. But she takes the time out of her day to take potions and stuff to the village and gives it to the apothecary so they can sell stuff out of there. But the civilians do not fuck with her at all because she's a black witch. And as she walks, she actually forms mushrooms every time she walks, because there's the white witches and then the black witches, and I feel like I'm forgetting something. I guess it's like a calamity or something that they're trying to avoid. And yeah, they just look at these black witches differently, because they can withstand more toxins and poisons than the white witches can. And the white witches are basically like the high class of this society and stuff, and really just treat these other witches terribly. And it's a good show, a really good show. And like I said, it feels Disney-esque like crazy, but it has my attention. And Luna, the main character, she's just amazing. She can do no wrong, and I just hope everything good happens to her, because these people do not deserve her. They don't deserve her bringing them potions every day. Episode 1, slight spoiler, is just there's this dude on crutches, no, missing a leg, and she's trying to sell a potion to the apothecary to give to this dude so he can grow his leg back. And like, yo, I can't sell this here because he grows his leg back and then they're gonna come to me like, how you got this type of magic and now I'm in trouble. So she turns her little potion into a little thing with legs so it can go find him in the village so he can take it and grow his leg back. And says this girl can do no wrong, she's just trying to help y'all, and y'all just look at her like she's crazy and like she's just the devil and it's crazy. I'm like, yo, she's just trying to help y'all, let her help y'all. And there's this raven that kind of looks out for it because his master kind of, I think it's her mentor if I remember correctly, so he kind of looks out for her. And this raven, I think he's probably one of my favorite characters in the show, but that man is rude as hell. He'd be yelling at her about everything and anything because she wants to do things differently, but she really can't because of how people look at her. So really cute show, really good. The animation is dope, my art style is dope, the little woodland creatures that help her out, they're all cool. And then like her powers of just how she saves people and stuff and turns it into like a mushroom and everything, and she just takes away basically their pain and stuff. Crazy. Yeah, I can't recommend this show enough. It's really good. Really check out this one. I think this is probably one of the more slept on shows this season. I have not heard anyone really talk about this show, and I just really stumbled upon it myself, so it might just be that low key, but please check this show out. It's really good. The next one I got, and I haven't watched a villainous show since 2020, and I think it was one of the first ones that started coming out with the villainous this and villainous that, but this one is The Villainous is Adored by the Prince of the Neighbor Kingdom, and it's an isekai. She gets reincarnated into one of her games, and she's transported into one of her games, and she's the villainess, and she's seeing it, all this stuff transpire. She knows how it works and stuff like that. And her prince that she's betrothed to disses her, and he's gonna go with a different girl. Cool. But then one of the princes from the second game that comes out after this one, that she didn't get to play yet because she died, shows up and wants to marry her, and she's confused because this doesn't happen in the first game, so she don't know what the hell's going on. But I think I know what's going on, and I don't know if it'd be a spoiler or not, I'm gonna keep it to myself, but I think in this world right here, I don't think she's the only one. I think there's more people, either they were reincarnated there or they were just transported there. I'm not too sure, but it seems like the way things are moving and stuff, that there's more to just her being there and more to come with this world. I only watched 4 episodes because I got kind of bored, because it was just the other prince being upset because she found someone else is giving her attention. The girl that the other prince was with is kind of mad because she's getting attention. I'm like, all right, I get it, y'all dissed her already, so what's the issue? Why are y'all worried about her? But I got kind of bored, so I went out to my next show. But I'm gonna finish this show. It's just, I think it's one of those shows that I binge. I watched 4 episodes and I was like, yeah, I think I'm cool right now. But I'm gonna come back to it. I don't know if it's something I recommend or not, but it's there's something there, and I think I have to wait till the end of the season to see how I feel about it. But now this show, I said it in the preview and I'm gonna say it again, Fate Strange Fate. I've been waiting forever for this damn show to finally get it going, because they dropped the Whisper of Dawn little mini movie back in 23, and then they dropped 1 episode, I think it was last year or the year before, and didn't do anything else until now. Pissed me off. And finally we're finally getting into the Holy Grail War, and so far so good. The art style is kind of different than other Fates, but I'm not mad about it. Also, the animation is kind of different. Again, not mad about it. I think A1's doing a pretty good job. I mean, they were with Ufotable, and Ufotable is a whole different beast. So I understand, A1, you're still doing your damn thing. But so far, so good. And I love that Gilgamesh and Enkidu are about to see each other again, and they're about to throw hands probably. And then we have a new saber as well. There's a whole bunch of different things that every installment of Fate, where there's something kind of different, really just interests me so much, because it just is, it's always different. Not always, but most of the time it's pretty much different. Like this one, we're in America. What the fuck? Why are we, we're in the States doing this Holy Grail War? And I know that all Fates are kind of like different timelines or different worlds and stuff, but I would love to know like how we got a Holy Grail War in the United States and stuff. But that's probably a different show. But so far so good. Fate is doing this damn thing. I think I watched up to episode 4 or 5, I can't remember exactly, and I'm locked in, man. I think there's kind of this Holy Grail War is going to be different than other ones that we've seen. There's a lot of different moving parts that I'm not gonna spoil for y'all, but it's, I don't know how, what else to say about it. It's really interesting how they're doing this and the different heroes that they have summoned and everything. It's gonna be good, and I hope they nail it with the ending and stuff, because it says 13 episodes, but I don't know if this is gonna be a two core type of thing or not, because usually Fate has at least two cores, but I haven't heard anything about that or not, so I guess we'll see once the season gets closer to wrapping up. But I am locked in. This might be my favorite show right now of the season. I'll rank my seasonals, my favorites, but at the end of the episode. But right now, I think this might be up there somewhere. Don't know where yet, but somewhere up there. Next one we got is, there was a cute girl in the Heroes Party, so I tried confessing to her. I'm going to tell you right now, this is just your run-of-the-mill isekai. And I love that shit. This is the James show. This is just one of my things. The dude is reincarnated. He's an isekai, but he's got into the Devil King's army, and he's, you know, OP as shit, and he keeps running into the Hero Party and destroying them every time. But he's not killing them, he's just sending them packing. And the Devil King's like, yo, why are you not killing these people? And he's like, oh, they're too weak, that's not what part, it's a waste of time. And Devil King's like, all right, bro, I'll send somebody else to do it. And he's like, no, I'll do it, I'll kill him this time. And then the next time they go in there, he's like, yo, y'all can go kill the Devil King, I don't care, just let me let her stay here so we can talk. And he confesses to her, and she's like, yo, no. And shenanigans ensue, and Buddy shows up, and he's become an adventurer so he can do better, I guess, and kind of hopefully win her heart. It's cool. It's just a run-of-the-mill isekai, nothing to write home about, but I love it. And that's what matters. If you like these type of shows with the isekai type beat, I mean, it's a little bit different because he's isekai'd into the Devil King's army, but other than that, he's OP, and you know how that go. So I'm watching it, but I think this is one of the ones that I'll put off to the end of the season, and I'll just binge to do, because I'm sure it's gonna be a one and done season. If there's a second season, I'd be surprised. Now, I remember telling y'all that I was not gonna watch this show, because what even is it, and why does it feel just off the wall weird? And that's the Darwin Incident. And I did end up watching it after all, and I caught up to be honest. I watched all 6 episodes that are out right now, and this show, I didn't even know how to feel about it, to be honest. There's so many moving parts with terrorism, veganism, and this human Z. There's so many different things going on, and they all kind of revolve around Charlie the human Z. And it feels like PETA propaganda at times with the different things about the human Z and eating animals and stuff, which is cool if you are vegan and everything, that's do your thing. But then it shows these people kind of bullying. This is one instance, and it's not a big spoiler, but my guy is protesting out about eating meat and stuff, and the bullies come over there and just start ripping his signs and trying and just on his ass about it. And he's like, yo, I got permission to come out here and do this and yada yada. And then finally the teachers come out and they say, you said it was a performing arts, and like, well, this is my art or whatever. And the bullies, I think, is what make it worse for me, because they are there people like just angry at vegans because they want to be vegans, or they're promoting Nazi animals. I don't know. It felt just all to me. And then the Human Z with Charlie, everyone kind of is like, he's kind of famous, but at the same time, people are kind of standoffish about him because there's instances in his past that he's kind of done some crazy stuff. But it's always, they go deeper into these instances, and there's always a reason why he does these things. And they don't see that. They just see this Human Z, and they're kind of like, yo, he shouldn't be a thing. So we need to just nip it in the bud right now and just take him out or whatever. And this terrorist group wants him to be like a part of their group of just, I don't know. I don't even know what they're trying to do, to be honest, because this group is what saved him at the beginning, but they weren't like this crazy about it. They weren't bombing places, and they weren't exploding buildings or making these people become school shooters and stuff. It's so many different things, and it's just, it's an odd show, I tell you that. And I don't know why his friend is so kind of, she jumps into the situation immediately and just all in with Charlie and just whatever he wants to do in this. And Charlie is just as low-key Human Z. He don't give a fuck what's going on. This dude is just trying to go to school and go home, and that, because all these things that happen to him, he's just like, okay, cool, yeah, whatever. Like this one instance, they ask him about, they're asking questions about how would you nip a virus in the bud or whatever, and he just blatantly, he's so honest, he just says, I would just kill whatever, like the bird or whatever it is about what that has a virus, and just nip it there. And then everyone's like, oh, did y'all hear that? Nip, yada yada. And then he turns to the dudes and like, if I had the same thing to do with y'all, I would kill y'all too. And I was like, yo, way too honest. But I knew where he was going with it. But at the same time, like, yo, you gotta dial that back a little bit. I don't know. It's just, I'm gonna keep watching it, but it's just it's an odd show. I'd say that it's a really odd show. And I don't know if I could recommend it or not. I don't know. Check it out if you want to. Don't check it out, but it's there. Oh, man. And then we got JJK, Culling Games Part 1. So far, so good. I don't know what MAPPA did for this third season of JJK, but it looks super cinematic with the different animation styles and the artwork, and it's going crazy. And I figured they were going to go this hard for Culling Games because it's a big part going into the later parts of JJK and the manga. And the Maki episode was really good. I know Japan didn't like it as much because what did they say? I feel it wasn't, I think it was something about it wasn't really fleshed out as well, which is cool. I thought it was just a great form of just paying homage to Kill Bill and just the animation of it and everything, because I mean, last year or the year 2 years ago, whatever, when we had the Sukuna and Maharaga fight, they didn't even finish halfway with the animation. They just threw it out there, and it still didn't look bad. But I think this time they kind of sat down and just like, all right, let's lock in for this Maki fight. And I get it, there's still a little bit of things that need to be answered with the Zenin clan that we don't get answered with this Maki fight, but I think that's what they're coming from. And I get it. I know people are kind of trying to shit on them because us Americans are just meatheads sometimes and just see things that all that the animation was crazy, the fight was crazy, yada yada. But sometimes you got to take a step back and kind of see it from someone else's perspective and what they're saying, and just like, well, that she doesn't really get answers about this or this, or yada yada. And I get it. Yeah, cool. And I take a step back and try to see it in that perspective, but it was still a really good fight. You gotta admit that. And that's where we kind of divide, because good fight or more of the world and the story developed. I mean, I wish they can go hand in hand, but sometimes we gotta take one without the other. And this, I guess, this is what happens in this episode, which I don't even remember what we missed from what we needed from the Zenin clan of what to break down. And I read this manga a long time ago, so I'm probably missing something. I'll have to go back and see in the manga what the Japanese viewers are kind of looking for in that scene. But as of right now, it's still cool, but I get what they're trying to say. So watch JJK. I'm sure you are. It's going crazy. And it's only part one. My next one, and that's my other show that I'm keeping up with, is Tamon's B-Side. This one is really cool. I'm really enjoying this one right now. You got this J-pop star that's all about the looks and his crazy personality out on stage and stuff. And then at home, he's just this shut-in introvert that doesn't even want to step outside, and it's just a struggle just to get him out the door. And then we have this super fan that's just working this cleaning service that gets assigned to his apartment, not knowing it's really him. She just thought the name was just familiar, and turns out it's him. And she sees him in a different light compared to what he is out on stage, and she's trying to help him kind of come out of his shell when he's not out and about or doing his idol stuff, and really be, you know, not so shut off of the world and stuff, and not just be locked in his room once he's done with shows and everything. It's really cute, it's really fun, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And it's really cool how they did this, the name of it. I don't even know if this is the right translation for it or not, but Tamon's B-Side. And basically, like, and this might be showing my age, but, you know, cassette tapes that had an A and B side, and, you know, his A side is him being the idol and just having this crazy personality and just always showing out for, you know, the crowd and stuff. And then his B side is this introvert, doesn't want to step outside type of thing. I thought that was a cool title. I didn't know what that meant until I watched it, and I was like, yo, that's cool. So I highly recommend this one. This one's really good. It's cute, it's funny. I'm really enjoying it so far, and I don't see how they could ruin it. I mean, so far so good, really. So please check this one out as well. My next one we got, and this is the other one that I was gonna keep up with, is Journal with Witch. Yo, this one is, I thought it was gonna be a lot heavier than what it is. I mean, there's themes that are kind of heavy, but it's kind of mellowed out to where it's just the story of this aunt just trying to take care of her niece after her sister and her husband are tragically taken, and just trying to navigate with this 15-year-old, and you've never had a kid in your life, and because I mean you're barely taking care of yourself, and now you have a human with you that you have to take care of. And it's really just a wholesome type of thing, and really I think it's this story of kind of discovering yourself with someone else. Like her niece, Asa, she didn't get to do a lot of things when she was with her parents and stuff, because their parents kind of kept their thumb on her with different things that they wanted her to do with school and stuff. And now with Makio, she wants to do these different things, and she's thinking, well, adults know best, and she's probably gonna say no because my parents say no. And Makio's this more forward thinking of just like, hey, do what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, go check it out. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it, but I'm not gonna be the one to control what you do and what you don't do. And she's slowly trying to get out of that mindset of what her parents had her under, of just go to school, do, you know, whatever club that I need to do to have it on my college transcripts to make me look better when I go to college and stuff like that. And really letting her open up with just different things that she has been wanting to do, just couldn't do it. And then also Makio kind of coming out of her show, just being this shut-in and author, and really trying to be more open and kind of talk about herself and her feelings more with Asa and everything, and with others as well, because she's just never had to really talk to people. And I mean, especially with her sister, she really didn't like her sister. And now she's finding out new things about her sister that she never knew about because of what these things that Asa has been telling her that her mom used to do, and what she would say about her when they were at home and stuff. So it's a really wholesome story and really just great. I cannot recommend this one enough. Another one of my favorites for this season right now. And man, it's just it's really great. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's really great without spoiling some things. So I'm going to leave it at that. Really good show. Really good show. And my next show got An Adventurous Daily Grind at Age 29. Yo, okay, so I thought this show was going to be this wholesome found family type of show. So this dude, the first episode, he's basically kind of like shows his backstory of him fighting for his life and everything and kind of trying to survive in the streets and the slums and stuff like that. And now he's a 29 year adventurer and doing his thing. He finds this girl in a dungeon and takes her under his wing. And yeah, cool, found family. Well, I'm gonna show you how to be an adventurer. You're gonna be with me and yada yada. I was like, all right, cool, this is cute. This is a different thing to do with a fantasy show. As it reminds me a lot of like Buddy Daddies, like you have this found family and you raise the kid and stuff. Cool. I thought that's what it was gonna be. And it might still be that, but and this happens episode one, so it's not a big spoiler. But at night, the girl turns into a succubus. Don't know why this was needed into the show. I thought we was about to have a wholesome thing, and turns out she's a succubus and she gets older at night. Yeah, and that really deterred me from the show for a little bit. But I watched a few more episodes and nothing weird happens, but I don't even know why this was needed, to be honest. I thought it was good as it was with this type of found family adventure type of thing and cool. But then you add that into it, I'm just like, now I'm kind of looking at it kind of like, yo, I don't want nothing weird to happen. And that's where I'm kind of just, I'm watching an episode, I'm like, once something crazy goes down, I'm out, to be honest. It's wholesome so far still. They don't really show the succubus part besides that first two episodes. Now it's just mainly their dungeon crawling and everything, and it's mainly that. So I'm hoping it sticks to that, and this is just some aspect that I don't know why you were introduced to, but I just hope it stays wholesome. Please stay wholesome. I'm begging you. And then my next show, oh hold on, I'll do this one first. I started Trigun Stargaze, and it's good so far. I really love this new spin on Trigun, especially with the first one with Stampede, and then the second part, because the second part I guess is getting more into the beginning of the original anime and everything. And so far so good. I am loving it. And they do change the story up a little bit, and I don't know if it's more faithful to the manga or if they're just doing different things in it, but either way, we got Millie back as well, so that's a cool thing to see Millie back into the show. So check out Stargaze. Don't let the CGI deter you from it. It's still a really good show, and the CGI is really good. Studio Orange does a very good job with their CGI. It's Studio Orange, right? But it's I don't know what to say, but it's just a good time, man. Yeah, Studio Orange. If you like Trigun, you're gonna like this. You might get deterred from the animation a little bit, but other than that, it's good. I promise you. Just check it out. Watch Trigun, please. And for my last show, this one I wasn't even gonna watch, but I heard people were kind of talking about it, that it wasn't as faithful to the manga or something like that. So I was like, let me check it out. I read the manga, obviously, but I was like, I'm gonna check it out regardless. And that's Hanakimi. And I'm kind of locked into this show, to be honest. She transfers to the school in Japan because she's really enamored with this high jumper. But turns out the school that she transferred to is an all-boys school. Now, this part kind of threw me because the first episode, they don't really explain how she got into the school or why she transferred to the school with this all-boys school. And maybe it explains it in the manga or something, but she's just there. By the end of episode one, I'm like, yo, you're not gonna explain how you got enrolled in this, or they didn't even check nothing about you or anything like that. But I guess it's not super important. But from the jump, I mean, people were kind of like, you look super girly, but I'll run with it. And right now, man, she has my dude Nakatsu in a mind fuck right now. He doesn't know how to feel because he's catching feelings for her, but he still thinks she's a dude. And he's like, yo, I don't know what these feelings are or what's happening, but anytime I'm around him, I am in a loss. I am flabbergasted how I feel about this dude. And like, I mean, he doesn't know that she's a girl, but he's just having so many mixed feelings. He doesn't know what to do. And it's not funny. It's funny because he's just like, hey, I'll go gay if it comes down to it. If he's into it, I'm into it. Fuck it. And I'm like, yeah, bro, go after it. And then we have Sano, who's just this calm, cool, collective dude, and he's just, it's whatever. And it turns out that the roommates is up. This is the dude that she's transferred to Japan for to come and see and stuff. And it's super wholesome. It's fun. The doctor dudes already know what's up. And yeah, I mean, check out Hanakimi. I know some of the manga faithfuls are not as happy with it as, you know, just anime watchers, but maybe I'll pick up the manga after I finish the show and see what's different. But as of right now, I think it's a solid show. I'm really enjoying it right now. So until I see something different or they point something out that kind of throws it off. Like I said, episode one kind of threw me off because we were just right into the shit. So maybe it's something like that. I'm not too sure, but either way, I'm enjoying it still. But that's all my shows. That was a lot longer than I expected. I'm telling you, I've been watching anime. I've kind of found like my flow state right now of just watching shows. So I'm doing a lot of rewatches, watching seasonals. We got Black Lagoon and Nana going right now, so I'm just in it. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. No, that's it. That's all the shows. But anywho, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. I appreciate y'all for listening every week. Hey, let me know what y'all watching. What did I miss a show that y'all are watching this season? Let me know. You can let me know in the Discord. That'll be in the show links. Or you can hit me up on Threads, TikTok, or Instagram at Anime Corner Pod. Or if you want to shoot me a good old email, theanimecornerpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to do that as well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about seasons. Let's talk about other shows like Golden Time, Urumichi Oni-chan. Yo, I'm about to start Inuyasha too, so let's talk about it. Also, another thing before I forget, Black Lagoon will be delayed another week. They got my boy Charles working. He's out in Oklahoma this week, so we can't record until Friday. So if I can record and post it on Friday, I will. But if anything, it'll just be two episodes next week. And then if anything, it might be Nana and Black Lagoon next week if it comes down to it. But we shall see once I get with Charles this Friday and see where he's at and how we're gonna do it. But other than that, thank y'all for listening, and thank y'all for y'all's patience with these episode drops with Nana and Black Lagoon. I really do appreciate y'all for just, hey, sticking with it. So another plug, I almost forgot, if you want other podcasts to listen to my other show with G and Greg, Bruise and Banter Podcast, and we're just talking about everything. Well, this last episode we were talking about the halftime show and the Super Bowl. We got a guest too. We brought on our buddy Noe. He's out doing this damn thing out in Colorado and stuff, and he's an anime watcher too, and we talked a little bit about anime and stuff, Hell's Paradise and stuff like that. So if you want another podcast to listen to, go check out my other show with them. And yeah, I appreciate y'all for listening. I'll see y'all next time. Peace.